Well, greetings once again. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Traditional Naturopath Podcast. Glad you could join us this week for another podcast. We're talking about natural health and things that you can do that will help assure your body has the best chance to live in natural health and not have to rely on a bunch of pharmaceutical chemicals that the allopathic medical practitioners are trying to sell us. And, you know, I don't have anything against allopathic medicine specifically. It is a different philosophy than naturopathic practice. But it can be very beneficial when it comes to what we call heroic medicine. That is, somebody's hit by a car and their body needs to be put back together. Allopathic medicine does that very, very well. Unfortunately, until recent years, allopathic medicine has been very lax in its embracing of natural methodologies and natural cures, most of which have to do with diet and nutrition. It's really only been fairly recently that allopathic practitioners have even gotten interested in diet and nutrition. And those that do actually have a bit of a stigma that they have to deal with among their own community. Now, that's changing, and that's a good thing. But unfortunately, that's been the case. Anyway, I'm digressing a bit here, but let's get into some of the posts that we've had on the Traditional Naturopath blog, which, by the way, I'd encourage you to check out our blog. It is www.traditionalnaturopath.com. Now, the word traditional, most folks don't have any problem with that. Naturopath is NaturoPath, traditionalnaturopath.com. If you want to check out that blog, I post things there that I find that pretty much are of interest to me and my continuing study of natural health issues. We talk about your natural health freedoms. We also talk about things that are beneficial to you and potentially to other people that you know, family members, friends. You may see articles there that have information that 'll benefit a lot of folks that you know. So I'd encourage you to just not only read the blog, but also spread the word, send out emails, tell folks about the Traditional Naturopath blog, and also the Traditional Naturopath podcast. All right, let's look at our first article since the last podcast. The last podcast was number 55. This is number 56. And the article that I posted right after that was Carrots and Celery and Colon Health. Now, I say in the article, I really like carrots and celery. Some of my favorite vegetables. And celery has the interesting property of requiring more calories to consume it than it actually has within it. In other words, you can eat celery and it actually is a negative calorie count, which is interesting in and of itself. But anyway, that's not the primary reason to like celery. Celery has a lot of tremendous benefits in and of itself from a nutritional point of view. But in talking about carrots and celery here, the article that I posted is talking about the fact that it can actually help ward off colon cancer. Now, classically, carrots have been discussed as a benefit to eye health. And in fact, there are flavonoids and so forth in carrots that are beneficial to your eyes. And that has come to be what's called an old wives' tale. But the thing about old wives' tales is that a lot of those have basis in fact. You know, those old wives, if you want to call them that, basically were learning and they were using what they had at hand and learning what would help in a given situation. I know my mom Very early on, when I would get a burn, if I would accidentally get burned or whatever, she would use aloe vera and put it on the burned area, and it would immediately feel better, and the burn would be less damaging, and there would be less scar tissue. And I thought that was fascinating as a kid. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that got me interested in natural health in general. Well, it turns out, of course, they did a study, found out that aloe vera has that benefit of helping heal skin and helping heal burned areas, particularly on skin. And so, come to find out that, quote, old wives' tale had tremendous benefit in it. And that's just, as I say, one of the many things that personally I saw. Now, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, but Dr. Bill, that's anecdotal evidence. Well, you know, the thing about anecdotal evidence, it's anecdotal because so many people see the same result. And if you have a result that gets repeated consistently, well, you know, it seems to me that that's science, repeatable results. So anecdotal evidence, while not maybe acceptable to the scientific community, anecdotal evidence can be a very powerful indicator that there is a repeatable scientific result from that observation. Now, obviously, one or two observations doesn't lead to enough evidence to necessitate a study, but enough people seeing the same thing over and over and over, it seems like that would indicate a need to study that a little further and maybe use the scientific method to demonstrate whether it is a correct assumption or not. Again, I'm digressing, but at any rate, let's keep going here. What they found out about carrots and celery is that they contain a flavonoid, which is an antioxidant, and it's called luteolin. It can block cell signal pathways that can then block cancer's growth. Now think about what cancer is. Cancer is a condition in which cells are multiplying fast and your immune system is not destroying those cells because, for whatever reason, either it doesn't recognize them as cells that are far into the body or negative, or the cell growth is simply, you might say, normal cells that have grown out of control and aren't being handled by the immune system. And let me digress just a second here. One of the key things that all of us can do from a natural health perspective is to have a strong, healthy immune system. I am amazed and greatly disturbed by the number of commercials that I see promoting drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, and the very first thing they mention as a side effect is it suppresses the immune system. You don't want to take anything that suppresses your immune system. Your immune system is the primary line of defense your body has to ward off sickness and disease. So you don't want to be suppressing your immune system. You want to be building your immune system. You want to increase its effectiveness, not decrease its effectiveness. But anyway, that's just an observation. Let's go back to what we're talking about here. Luteolin can be found in olive oil, green peppers, thyme, chamomile tea, peppermint, and rosemary. More research is needed to find out how the compound could be developed into an effective anti-cancer agent. Now, of course, that's from the perspective that most allopathic medical practitioners and researchers take, and that is if we find a natural element or a natural food or whatever that can be beneficial, let's take it apart and let's figure out how to produce it artificially so that we can turn it into a patentable pharmaceutical drug or agent. I don't know why they don't want to just use it in its natural state. Well, actually, I do know why, sadly. And that is that if they can take it apart and find out how it works and produce it artificially, they can patent it. And if they can patent it, then they can sell it and make a lot of money off of it. But anyway, let's not get off on a diatribe about that. The point is, in its natural state, it has natural enzymes that the body can use to properly digest the food, and then the beneficial elements of that food, the nutrition, can be used by the body more effectively by simply consuming it in its natural state the way it's intended to be used. Anyway, previous lab tests have revealed luteolin's antioxidant and anti-cancer properties. In new research published in BMC Gastroenterology, shows that the compound inhibits cell signaling pathways IGF and PI3K, both important for the growth of cancer in colon cancer cells. Colon cancer is the second most frequent cause of cancer-related death in the West, and colon cancer cells are known to have elevated levels of IGF-2 compared to normal colon tissues. Researchers believe that this is part of the mechanism that allows uncontrolled cell division, which is, of course, cancer growth. Luteolin was shown to be able to block the secretion of IGF-2 by colon cancer cells. And then they have some discussion here of the research that is involved around this particular study. But what I come back to is the natural carrots and celery that contain this element they're talking about, this flavonoid, that seems to me to be the thing we ought to concentrate on, is simply eating natural foods like carrots and celery, and realize as you eat them, you know what? It's not only good, it's good for me, it's helping my body build the immune system, get the nutrition it needs, and ward off potentially colon cancer. That, to me, is exciting. All right, let's move on to our next article here. Melatonin, sleep, and Alzheimer's disease. Excuse me. This is an article from Natural News. Now, I want to encourage you to check out naturalnews.com. Naturalnews.com is a great resource, a place I like to go to read about natural foods and nutrition and the benefit that they have for all of us. And they have a tremendous number of good articles that I think will be very beneficial to you. So check that out, naturalnews.com. Now, this particular article is talking about the benefits of melatonin and sleep. And basically, let me just read a little bit of it here. Ongoing research is being performed to investigate the cause of Alzheimer's disease, a form of dementia. Alzheimer's robs its victims slowly of their cognitive powers, intelligence, memories, and eventually their lives. Scientists don't know for sure how Alzheimer's develops. However, emerging evidence points to genetics, lifestyle factors, and environmental toxins. That last one is a key area from my perspective. Early onset Alzheimer's disease is often thought to be influenced by genetics, giving the individual little control over causative factors. However, in the case of the more common form of Alzheimer's disease, it may be possible for individuals to have some control over its prevention. The formation of amyloid plaques in the brain is a feature of Alzheimer's disease. These plaques consist of a peptide or string of amino acids whose normal activity protects against oxidative stress, which contributes to the presence of cell-damaging free radicals. Additionally, they require cholesterol transport to have an antimicrobial action on the inflammatory agents of the plaques. Research suggests that a soluble form of amyloid beta, the main component of the plaques, may be a causative agent for Alzheimer's disease. Several forms of treatment are indicated as possible interventions against the development of these plaques, including strengthening the individual's immune system. There you go, just what I was talking about earlier, to trigger antibodies to prevent or clear plaques from the brain. An important discovery was made indicating that the sleep hormone melatonin inhibits the formation of plaques and may be effective in preventing Alzheimer's. However, melatonin cannot reverse the formation of existing plaques, so it's not useful in the treatment of the disease. Experiments in mice suggest that when adequate amounts of melatonin are available early in life, It may act to prevent Alzheimer's from beginning. So it's a preventative. And again, this is part of the philosophy, you might say, of naturopathic medical research, is to prevent disease by having a healthy lifestyle, healthy diet, healthy approach to your life, and therefore ward off some of these issues. You know, if you're not consuming things that are environmental toxins, for instance, then you're not going to have an issue with those environmental toxins. It's kind of common sense. Well, same kind of thing with other things we can do that are preventative. So catch it before it ever starts. Do things that are preventative and beneficial to the body, preventative of these kinds of conditions. Now, one area that you can, you know, do this preventative approach is with sleep. Now, the key is that melatonin is a naturally produced hormone which regulates sleep and the circadian rhythm of amyloid beta. People need enough melatonin to produce proper sleep, and excessive wakefulness reduces the amount of the hormone, leading the way to its to possible plaque development. Animal experiments also indicate the ability of melatonin to correct slight elevations in cholesterol, another risk factor of plaque development. Excessive periods of sleep deprivation for any reason can affect the circadian rhythm of amyloid beta by reducing the amount of melatonin produced in the brain, hypothetically causing the buildup of amyloid beta plaque formation. Recent findings have shown that chronic loss of sleep is connected to early onset Alzheimer's disease. So, what do we do to help ward off this condition? Well, you need to get plenty of sleep. And what you need to do is sleep not only regularly and for a long enough period of time, but in a room where there is very little light. That will help produce melatonin naturally in the body. So sleeping in a very dark room with no ambient light, that's what you want to do to increase melatonin production. Now, you might say, well, I like to sleep with a night light on. And notice that a lot of young children, unfortunately, like to sleep with a light on. And parents don't think anything about it. But you remember what it said, early production of melatonin and having a proper sleep cycle is preventative, ultimately, for Alzheimer's disease, early onset or even later in life. So, sleeping in a very dark room, particularly in the early years, can be very beneficial. And that's really the way it should be. I don't know about you, but I just sleep better when the room is extremely dark. I try to get it as dark as possible. One of my favorite places to sleep, as a matter of fact, is we have a place down on High Rock Lake, and it's away from everything. I'm talking way away from everything. There's not even any cell phone signal down there. And because it is so far away from, so to speak, civilization, it gets dark. I mean dark, dark. And you can go outside and you can look up at the stars, and the stars, oh my goodness, you see so many more than you do in the city because there's less light pollution, really. That's what it boils down to. And so you can go to bed there, and you can turn the lights out, and I mean, it is pitch dark. And I don't know, I just seem to sleep so much better there in that environment with it so dark, and you get better rest. And guess what? Your body is producing melatonin, which is tremendously beneficial, particularly with regard to avoiding Alzheimer's disease, which is a terrible condition. If you've seen people who have Alzheimer's and are affected by it, it not only affects them, it affects the whole family of the loved one who has it. It's just a terrible thing. So, things that we can do to help prevent it, particularly when it's as simple as just darkening your room and getting a good night's sleep on a regular basis, my goodness, that's just easy to do and beneficial in so many ways. All right, this is another article that I found. This is called How to Deal with Adipose Tissue. Now, adipose tissue is a fancy way of saying plain old fat. Now, a lot of people have issues with weight and with too much fat on their body. And believe me, I understand that. Fat or adipose tissue is found in several places throughout your body, and probably more than you would like. Besides the fat underneath your skin, which is subcutaneous fat, there is fat on top of kidneys, some in the liver, and a small amount in muscle tissue. Fat cells are formed in the third trimester of pregnancy and later at the onset of puberty when sex hormones kick in. Where the fat is distributed depends on the sex of the individual as hormones come into play. Estrogen dominance in women and men tend to result in abdominal fat. An interesting fact is that most people are unaware of is that fat cells do not multiply after puberty. A diet that contributes to obesity does not cause fat cells to multiply in the body. They just get bigger. And boy, do they get bigger. The only exception would be if the individual gained a significant amount of weight or if they had liposuction. As tempting as liposuction may be, one of the most common pitfalls is that once you remove the fat cells from one area, they will become larger in other areas if the diet does not change. So you may have a smaller backside, but it will add fat to your knees or your chin, which may not be attractive and actually awkward. Interesting little turn of phrase there by the author. So, how do we lose fat? If we're bombarded with exercise machines, supplements, and foods touting a reduction in belly fat, I'm sorry to say that there's no food or exercise or pill that will cause your body to lose fat in one area versus another. If you want to lose fat, you need to consume fewer calories than you burn. Oh my. It's one of those kind of facepalm moments. Well, duh, I knew that. The thing is, people don't want to accept that. They want some, you know, magical cure that's going to cause fat to just go away without consuming less calories than you burn. You just have to do it. In time, your body will begin to convert fat into usable energy, and the fat deposits throughout your body will start to vanish. For men, abdominal fat is the last fat that will leave the body, as face and extremities are usually first. So a whole body approach needs to be initiated. For women, the last place to lose weight is typically the hips and buttocks. Those stubborn last 10 pounds are the most difficult to lose. And the author says, believe me, I've had that battle on and off for years. Exercise is important, not so much for shrinking a specific area. A lot of people say, you know, if I exercise this area, it'll cause me to lose fat in the area. That's just not the way it works. The way it works is you're going to lose fat from all areas of the body. It just may be more noticeable in some than others, and that's just the way it works. Now, another topic that she talks about here in this article is what she calls false fat. Dr. Elson Haas coined the term and has written a book on the subject. False fat refers to that bloated feeling, an extra 3 inches you get when you eat foods that you should be avoiding. She says, for example, I don't eat bread or pasta on a regular basis, but when I do, I'll be sure to wear clothing that will conveniently hide the 2 extra inches that almost instantly appear around my midsection. Chronic congestion is also a form of false fat on the nasal passages, mostly due to indigestion of dairy or wheat products. The 7 most common foods that contribute to the false fat and food sensitivities are dairy, wheat, sugar, corn, soy, and peanuts. False fat is much easier to prevent and lose. It can be done in just a matter of days by avoiding our inflammatory foods. Now, inflammatory foods and inflammatory issues are getting a lot of press these days. There's a lot of discussion about inflammation being the core of a lot of things that you're going to be dealing with in your body, whether it's fat or whether it's chronic pain. Inflammation seems to be a tremendous issue. And toward that end of combating inflammation, our next article, and the last one for this particular podcast, is turmeric and curcumin offer benefits against cancer. turmeric is an anti-inflammatory. Now, I've used turmeric personally. I had an issue in my leg where I had tremendous muscle pain. It was just chronic pain, and it was nagging, steady, dull ache, and it was just a pain to deal with. That's kind of, I didn't mean that to come out quite that way, but that's the truth. And so I found, and this, the way I found this was really interesting. I had never had Indian food, you know, and of course they use turmeric and they use a lot of different herbs and spices in their foods. And I went and had some of the of that food just because we wanted to do something different. We went to this Indian restaurant, and I ate the food, enjoyed it. But then I noticed as I left, because I went at lunch, the rest of that afternoon, my leg felt a lot better. It was really kind of interesting. And I knew, you know, I kind of traced my steps. I said, well, what did I do different today? And I thought of the fact that I'd eaten foods that had a lot of turmeric in it. So I started doing some research and found out that turmeric was an anti-inflammatory. So I started supplementing turmeric, actually taking turmeric capsules. And the leg pain went away. And I haven't had to deal with it since. Matter of fact, I still, to this day, don't take turmeric, you know, the way I did during that period of time when I was fighting that off. But I kind of put it in my arsenal mentally, made a little note that if I have to deal with any kind of issues involving inflammation, that's a tremendous way to go, is to use turmeric. Now, in this particular article that I have a link to here, it's talking about turmeric and curcumin as powerful anti-cancer agents. And it says, commonly used in many Eastern countries, turmeric has been found to suppress cancer growth and reduce brain tumors by an astonishing, now get this, 81% without evidence of toxicity. While the benefits of turmeric are just coming to light within mainstream and alternative media, it's been known for quite some time that this inexpensive spice can profoundly improve biological function. Curcumin, a natural phenol and derivative of turmeric, may be responsible for many of these effects, particularly the anti-cancer benefits. Used by ancient Chinese and Indian systems of medicine, curcumin has been shown to reduce brain tumor size by 81%, excuse me, in 9 out of 11 studies. With research published in the July edition of the Journal of Nutritional Biochemistry, scientists found that curcumin dramatically decreased the size of brain tumors by 81% in those studies. Additional research has found that turmeric and curcumin also inhibit the spread of cancer by actually blocking a key enzyme responsible for its growth. Given chewable curcumin supplements containing 1,000 milligrams of curcumin each, 21 study participants with head and neck cancer experienced a halt in cancer spread after intake. Conducted by UCLA, the results were examined by an independent lab in Maryland, which confirmed that curcumin supplements ultimately stopped the spread of malignant cancer cells. Curcumin gives turmeric its unique color, and each 100 grams of turmeric contains 3 to 5 grams of the compound. Some health experts believe that turmeric will reach the popularity level of vitamin D, which is almost universally recognized as a fantastic health-promoting substance. And I agree, vitamin D is very important, but basically they're saying in terms of popular acceptance of vitamin supplements, nutritional supplements, and so forth, turmeric may have, you might say, it's 15 minutes of fame because of its tremendous benefits. But this points out something that I've said for a long, long time, and that is these natural foods, natural nutritional benefits that are derived from good, healthy, whole foods are always beneficial to the human body because that's what you were designed to eat. And so I'd encourage you to check some of these things out, as I enjoy doing, and I'll keep bringing them to you on the Traditional Naturopath blog. Now remember, as I always tell you, you are the person most responsible for your own personal health. Join us next time. And I tell you what, I enjoy these times just to share with you some of the things that I'm discovering about natural health.